pastor of St. Mark Baptist Church down in Iredell County. And we love this man. Been a friend of mine for years. And I love him. That's not what he's preaching. All these preachers are friends of mine. But he's God's man for this hour. And I appreciate him tonight. Appreciate him being faithful to God. You just preach to us what's on your heart. About 30 minutes, they'll run the light for you.
Bless you. Amen. Appreciate that. I thought about always running late. I put a new horn on my vehicle. Sounds like gunshots. Everybody gets out of the way. My daughter told me that my little granddaughter, Kennedy, they prayed for me before they came to camp meeting tonight. And my little granddaughter prayed, little Kennedy, and she said she prayed that Papa wouldn't preach out of his mind tonight. So whatever. In the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 8 tonight, I want to read a few verses of Scripture. Forgive me tonight. I'm going to skip over some names, but I just don't want to do injustice to these names tonight. I could ask one of you fellas to come and read them for me, but we'll just try to hit that the best I can tonight. But look here in chapter 8 of the book of Nehemiah. And all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. They spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate, from the morning until midday, before the men and the women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were attentive under the book of the law. And Ezra the scribe stood upon a pulpit of wood, which they had made for the purpose. And beside him stood these 13 men. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above all the people, not better than, just raised up. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. And Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting up of their hands. Boy, now my sight got out of the way. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Also, 13 more men, that's 26 of them now. So these other 30, and the Levites caused the people to understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah, which is the Teshethah, then Ezra the priest and the scribe and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not, nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites stilled all the people, saying, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Neither be ye grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and to drink and to send portions and to make great mirth, because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. And on the second day were gathered together the chief of the fathers, all the people, the priests, and the Levites unto Ezra the scribe, even to understand the words of the law. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm glad tonight for the power and the greatness of your word. I pray tonight, honor the reading of your word. Help us now, Father. Lord, we stand in need of you. We can't do anything apart from you. I pray you'd help us now. Speak to hearts and lives in this service. May you be honored and glorified. May we be helped that we might know more about our God. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to preach a little while tonight about the help of God on this thought. Friend, it's not about the wall. When we read Nehemiah, it comes to our mind. It's about building the wall. Friend, but it's not about the wall. The Bible tells us it's about the word and worship. In spite of all the devil did to hinder the walls were completed, he said in Nehemiah 6, and so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul in 52 days. In chapter 7 of Nehemiah, it tells how that the people got organized, they got housed, they got fed, and they got involved in a big love offering that it might help their friend to jumpstart their new spiritual life in their new city inside their new wall. The wall is finished, and now the real work has begun. God's real purpose, dear friend, for the wall, dear friend, it didn't seem like people understand, but today these people, they did not see the building of the wall as being the ultimate goal of the day. They understood, hey friend, it's what goes on the inside of the walls that matter. I thank God tonight for this place. I thank God for the church. I thank God that the walls have been builded. But thank God, it's not the wall. It's important. It's what goes on the inside of the walls. If and once the walls was finished, people began to worship, and they had a revival inside the walls. Amen. He had an old fashioned heaven sent. He had sin erasing, devil chasing, wind shaking, soul reviving, revival down at the place of worship. And it was all based on the word. It's not about the wall. It's about the word, and it's about worship. If and listen, it's what went on inside of the wall. Hey, five elements of this worship. First of all, it was rooted in a hunger for the word of God. If and listen, in verse number 1, it talked about there, the people said, we want to hear what God said. Can I say that today, if and it's important what God says, and you and I ought to want to hear what God has said. Notice here, all this happened at the Watergate. You say, preacher, what's so important about that? Well, definitely listen, water is a tip, it typifies the word. If and it's the word of God. And so we find here the people, they gathered in great number because they're hungry for the word. I hope to God tonight that we've gathered at this place because we've got a hunger for the word. If and we play church, if we do all kind of things, but there ought to be a hunger in our heart for the word of God. Amen. I want to ask you tonight, are you hungry for the word? Is that why you gathered here tonight? Because you're really hungry for it. Does that mean, dear friend, it comes Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night that you'll gather at the house of God because you're hungry? Amen. Y'all about to preach me to death. My doctor told me, I got to take it easy. I ain't healed up yet. My wife told me, my daughter told me, you got to slow down. You got to take it easy. I don't know how. Amen. Pray for us. Can we hold together? I thought about the little boy. Little boy brought his daddy, big old family Bible, off the coffee table. And he said, Daddy, what is this? And Daddy said, that's God's word. That's God's Bible. And little boy replied to his daddy. He said, well, Daddy, why don't we give it back to God? We ain't using it. Amen. How about your Bible? Does it collect dust on the table? What about Sunday morning when you come to the house of God? Do you open it up during the week? Or could you just leave it laying on the pew and never touch it until the next Sunday morning? I hope you're hungry. Because we've got a feast set before you tonight. Not because I'm preaching. Because this is the word of God. And dear friend, the feast is set. It'd be a shame, dear friend, to leave it on the table, wouldn't it? Amen. Amen. God help us tonight. In Psalm 119, he said, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Amen. We're not going to have revival in America because of election results. If we're going to have revival in America when God's people want the word of God, if more than they want money and prosperity and health care. Job said, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And I want to tell you, I'm addicted to it. I'm addicted to food, and I look out and see some of y'all are too. Amen. Somebody said, preacher, you need to go on a diet. I said, listen, thin might be in, but fat's where it's at. I said, the Bible tells me the fat belongeth to the Lord. I get hungry. I stay hungry. Amen. Just try to keep from eating for 24 hours. You'll understand. In just a few hours, you find yourself longing to eat. I walk to the house and I get a glimpse of that old refrigerator, Brother Steve, and it gets to calling my name. It gets to wooing me. And I'll get over there, open up that fridge, and get out some cold chicken, and I'll start to eating. If I get hungry, I stay hungry. Now, most of us can't go 7 hours without eating, but we can go 7 days without getting in the Word of God. And I can't go 2 hours without eating. I'm hungry. I'm addicted to food. And something is wrong. We feed our flesh bountifully, but we don't feed our spirit properly. No wonder our flesh grows and our spirit shrinks up to our spine. He said in Psalm, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. That's hidden treasure. Get in the book. Get in the Word of God. David said, I go treasure hunting every day. Friend, listen. It's not hard to find gold nuggets in the Word of God. Now listen, we call it hidden treasure. But, dear friend, listen, the hidden treasure is right there under our nose in the Word of God. It's there for you and I. Now, Nehemiah's people were hungry. They're hungry for the Word more than they are food and gold and treasure. Now, keep in mind, they didn't have copies of the Word of God. There wasn't a bookstore on every corner. Hey, friend, listen. Most of them only heard the Word when somebody would stand and read the Word publicly. What a hunger they had for the Word of God. They didn't have their own copies, but they longed to hear the Word of God. Hey, friend, you and I have got many copies and seen to be content going about our lives without ever opening up this blessed book. It's rooted in a hunger for the Word of God. My dear friend, it's marked by a hearing of the Word. Verses 2 through 4. And verse 5 said they were not time conscious. Amen. Now listen, I'm time conscious. I know. Brother Steve's a moderator. And Brother Steve's calling this thing as God leads him. And he said, you've got this much time, and that's fine. If and that's the way it ought to be. He's in the place of authority. And whatever he says, that's what I'm talking about, the service. I'm talking about on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. My daughter says, Daddy, I wish you'd preach more like Adrian Rogers on the radio. I said, honey, what you don't know is that excerpt came out of an hour and 15-minute message. And I said, you're going to miss a lot of it. But listen, here, they had a love for the hearing of the Word of God. They were not time conscious. The Bible said that they stood for 5 to 6 hours daily to hear the Word of God. Would anybody like to stand up? Amen. I got folks can't sit 30 minutes while I preach, let alone stand. Oh, well, some of my folks is here. Amen. We won't have a revival until we get over clock watching. I don't think the service should drag on unnecessarily, but we shouldn't rush it. We shouldn't quench the Spirit of God. We need to be sensitive to the Lord's leading as well as the attention span of the people. Now, the point is, people need to grow in their attention span. Especially if and when God offers us a good meal. I try not to be long-winded. I try not to take advantage of folks' time. And I would really, I'd rather get finished before you do. Amen. My goal is to leave you wanting more. Preach for a preacher friend of mine one time down in Elkin. I just preached a short message. I'm back at the door shaking hands after the service. These ladies come by and said, preacher, why did you stop? Why did you quit? Why didn't you preach on? Said, we want to hear more. I said, I had a plan in mind. I figured if you wanted more, I'd get invited back. Amen. And so, dear friend, you and I, we don't answer to the clock. We answer to God. Amen. Little boy went to big church for the first time. Now, you can have little church, won't you? Ours come in. They cry. They holler. I just preach over them. Little boy, first time in big church. He's used to junior church and he had a lot of questions for his daddy and everything he saw. He'd see something take place. He'd look up at his daddy and say, what's that? And his daddy would tell him. The choir started to sing. And he said, Daddy, what's that? He told him what it was. The ushers came forward to receive the offering. He said, Daddy, what's that? And so he told him what that was. The preacher opened his Bible. He said, Daddy, what's that mean? And he explained it to him. And then the preacher took his watch off his wrist, laid it on the pulpit. He said, Daddy, what does that mean? And his daddy said to the boy, son, that don't mean one thing. The Bible said in verse 3, they were attentive. Why waste your time if you're not coming to listen? You just well stay home. Well, there'll be a less crowd tomorrow night, eh? Amen, I'll run them off. But anyhow, he said, why? I mean, the church is not just a place to color and pass your time. It's to show reverence to God and His Word. But not only that, it's marked by an honor for the Word. The Bible said in verses 5 and 6, said that it's right there. They said, amen.
Right.
Do you?
Yes.
Now, when you say amen, you are honoring the word of God. And when you say amen, you're helping me. One thing, you're helping to kill me. I mean, saying amen to a preacher is like saying sick 'em to a dog. Amen. I like it. Hey, now you think about all God does. Hey, friend, now, we think about these things. God loves us, and we've come together that we might worship God Almighty. Now, they lifted up their hands. Do you? Why not? Is it because you don't want to be associated with that holy roller crowd? Hey, friend, don't quench the spirit. When you feel a touch of God, just let go and let God have it. You say, well, now, preacher, it's too easy for people to get carried away. Oh, my goodness. Maybe so. My dear friend, it's easier to calm down a zealot than it is to warm up a corpse. Amen. We're Baptists. Amen. The greatest danger we face is not that we become a bunch of fanatics, but that we become so cold and indifferent that we can't get excited about the Word of God. Oh, God, heaven. The Bible said in many places for us to lift up holy hands to Him. I'm going to say, is He worth the effort? Hey, is He not worth the effort? Is He worth the effort of an amen out of you and me? If you're not comfortable with that atmosphere, I've got an idea. You ain't going to like heaven at all. Don't get me wrong. We shouldn't come to church to put on a show. In other words, don't intentionally tip your cup over. But listen, if it runs over, let it run over. I know things are to be done decently and in order, but the Bible's pretty clear. God doesn't expect us to sit in church like a cigar store wooden Indian, a dear friend with faces of stone, ought to come together in the spirit and power of God and worship God Almighty. Is he worthy of an amen, or maybe a Holy Ghost grunt? Is he worthy of uplifted hands? Look at the end of verse number 6. And the Bible said, and all the people answered. Uh-oh. How many do that include? He said, all the people, amen. Amen, were lifting up their hands, and they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Is he worth the effort of coming forward and bowing our faces to the ground at an old-fashioned altar of God? Well, not only that, but fourthly, verses 7 and 8 talk about it wasn't enough for them just to read the word. Somebody had to explain it. Now, that's what I call preaching. That's preaching. Somebody read it, but that wasn't enough. They needed somebody to preach, expound at the word of God. Now, we don't just need people to stand and give a talk. We need the preaching of the truth of the word of God. We need preaching that exposes the power of the word of God. We need that. Bible preaching is taking the Bible, the Word of God, explaining it, illustrating it, and applying it to everyday life. There's a famine in the land for that kind of preaching. That's the kind of preaching that builds great Christians. Keep it simple so everybody can understand it. Verse 70, the Bible said, and the people stood in their place. I gave you 26 people. They had places. We might call it a Sunday school class. We might call it a prayer meeting time, a time of meeting with small groups and teaching the Word of God. Everyone, they stood in their place. The men, in verse 8, the Levites were leaders who explained the Word more, even one-on-one as needed, with witness to people. That's real discipleship. I believe we have pastors and teachers and disciplers here tonight who take very seriously the way they handle the Word of God. Last of all, it was marked. Oh, I got to quit. Yes. It was marked by their heeding of the Word. Nehemiah was the governor. The goal of Bible preaching is life transformation. Just hearing the Word does not transform lives. And not just understanding it, it doesn't transform lives. But it's when you and I obey the Word of God that it'll transform our lives. The Spirit of God wants to bring you down in order to lift you higher than you've ever been. Preaching may at first make you mad. And then it makes you sad. And it does that so that the Lord can make you glad. My daddy used to say, son, what's wrong with you? I said, I am mad. And my daddy would look at me in a way, he said, son, I'll make you glad in a minute. God has a way of doing just that. Obedience. What in the world is going on in this life? I'm done. I love you. I appreciate Brother Steve. I appreciate the privilege. God bless you. God help you.